Hallo Alex.
Hallo Kellerchen. Es ist irgendwie ein bisschen besonders jetzt, weil es zum ersten Mal seit einem Jahr passiert, dass wir gleich zwei Live-Folgen hintereinander online stellen. Nämlich die erste, die wir gerade vor dieser Folge gehört haben. Und jetzt kommt ein sehr, sehr interessantes Interview, das wir geführt haben auf der Raw Wine, nämlich auf der größten Weinmesse der Welt, die Station in Berlin gemacht hat und auf der wir waren. Und da durften wir die Veranstalterin Isabelle, wie heißt sie mit Nachnamen?
Legeron.
Wie schön du das sagst.
Ja.
Durften wir interviewen. Und ich finde, die hat ein paar wirklich kluge Dinge über Naturwein gesagt, um das auch Leuten vielleicht so ein bisschen näher zu bringen, die mit dem Thema noch nicht so vertraut sind, oder was meinst du, Keller?
Also ich fand es sehr, sehr interessant, sowohl für Leute, die noch nichts davon gehört haben, als auch für uns, die schon öfter was davon gehört haben. Und das Schöne ist diesmal in Englisch, also all the English listeners, you can start to hear right now.
Hast du sehr schön gesagt. Also Keller, unser Native Speaker hier im Podcast. Lass uns einfach reinhören, oder?
Ja, dann hört doch mal rein.
Flaschenkinder, der Podcast.
Wir freuen uns besonders, dass Isabelle heute bei uns ist. Isabelle ist die Veranstalterin, die Initiatorin von der RAW sozusagen. Hello Isabelle, welcome
Thank
in
you.
Our podcast show.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah,
live,
we are very happy.
Live from Berlin in the RAW wine.
Yeah, so not all of our podcast listeners know you. So could you introduce yourself a little bit?
Well, so my name is Isabelle. I'm the organizer, the founder of this event, which is RAW wine. I created it in 2012. I was brought up on a farm, you know, growing grapes. So wine has kind of been around me all my life, even since I was a little girl. And back in 2012 in London, I decided to create an event to celebrate the work of the growers who farm organically. You know, for me, the farming is really, really important. Who farm organically, and then when they bring the grapes in, they don't add anything apart from maybe some sulfites. So basically, the grapes are naturally fermented. You know, there's very little clarification or filtering, and then only a little bit of sulfites added during the vinification. And you know, these growers are they're not very many of them. You know, it's a tiny, tiny proportion of the wine industry, probably way under 1%. And so I wanted to create an event around the world that would celebrate the work of these growers and present an opportunity for professionals and members of the public to come and taste and understand how much work it takes to make these wines. You know, because I think we always underestimate, if anybody listening from your, you know, from your listeners, if they are involved in farming, I think they will understand the work involved. And so I think it's very important to appreciate this work, especially now, you know.
And now it's getting really, really big. So 7 years ago, you would never have imagined that it's so huge.
No.
Sometime. Yeah.
No, I know. I mean, you know, when I created it in 2012 in London, I thought it was just going to be a London event. Actually, you know, I'm not an event organizer, which is now kind of what I've become a little bit. I just wanted to do something in London, but then people were really excited and they said, well, you need to come and do it maybe in Berlin and then the US. You know, so now we're in Berlin, in Los Angeles, in Montreal, in New York, in Miami, London. So we're
worldwide. Yeah.
So yeah, everywhere. And it's, yeah. Which is really interesting because every single market is different. You know, so I've got growers who come to all the fairs, mm-hmm. because they touch different people and they use it for develop their distribution network.
Okay, really great.
So you're going to other countries, you're going to, you said, to the US. How open are the customers in these countries? So I think there is a big difference from Germany to the US to Canada.
Yes, very. I mean, to be honest, I think Germany is one of the most conservative markets and probably one of the most difficult.
Really?
Yes. If you go around and speak to the growers,
yeah.
you will realize that for them it's really difficult to penetrate the German market and to sell wine because I think Germany is very price sensitive. And people love the idea of organic, but they like cheap organic. Mm-hmm. And when you make everything by hand, in small quantities, you know, the cost of labor in Europe is very high. So you cannot have a bottle of very good natural wine for 2 or 3 euros or even 4 or 5 euros. It's not possible. So I think Germany is quite a tough market. When you're in the US, people are very open. It's a very fast growing market. Before I organized the event only in New York, and now we do New York, Los Angeles, and we do other events around the country. And now it's everywhere. Every major city in the US has a natural wine scene developing. And if you speak to the growers, a lot of them sell a lot of wine in the US. One of the problems of the US is almost how to get hold of more wine, which is a very different problem to what we have in Germany, but also in the UK is also a very difficult market.
And what do you think about the traditional wine areas like France or Italy?
Things are changing. You know, yeah. I think people are... There is still the very strong, very traditional, conventional winemaking area where people are focused on farming, maybe with chemicals and products, and making wines according to a certain style because they think that's what sells. Mm-hmm. But in parallel to this, there is a very small growing, part of these classic regions you can see here, I think of Burgundy. I think Burgundy has more and more now, obviously organic biodynamic vineyards, but made naturally with low intervention. Same in Bordeaux, same in Piedmont, in Tuscany as well. I think we're seeing a lot more low intervention winemaking sort of happening, which is really great. They're still not the norm, they're still on the sideline a little bit, but things are changing everywhere. And I think essentially it's changing for two reasons. I think people are realizing that organic farming is a pathway to quality. So if you want to make very high quality wines, you have to farm organically. I mean, that's it. There's no mystery, basically. If you don't have the connection between the plant and the soil via living microbiology present in the soil, there cannot be real communication. You cannot talk about terroir. So that's one thing. And I think people are now beginning to realize this. And also then people also realizing that, the drinkers out there are changing. They're getting younger. They want different things. They want a real story. They want to understand. They want to buy wine that have ethics. Mm-hmm. People care about the environment. They care about the health of the consumers. And I think these two elements mean that, the natural wine, low intervention, organic biodynamic wine movement is growing.
It's funny because if you think of wine teaching, of how to learn about wine, there is still the only way you can learn it or to get a sommelier is like WSET. You learn all the... I know it because I do it at the moment because I want to realize what other people are talking about, because when you come from the other side, you like natural wine, then you say, I want to do something with wine, you have the only way to... learn how to, destroy everything, how to do, the Schönungsmittel, what's the English word for it? It's like the things to put in the wine that are not real, that are not organic. So it's, do you think maybe 10 years later on, there is something like an education for natural wine for, in this case?
I hope so. I think it's quite slow. Mm-hmm. I think still because the volume, the vast majority of people make wine with adding a lot of stuff. I think these organizations, they cater for the volume and they cater for the bigger quantity and the larger quantity of wines made. I think there is definitely of course we need to teach more about natural mm-hmm. wine, because I think I come from quite a classical background. I studied for the Master of Wine. I'm mm-hmm. a Master of Wine, so I've gone through WSET diploma mm-hmm. and everything, and I think it's very important to mm-hmm. understand the classics, to understand the geography, to understand everything, and then to decide the style of wines you prefer. But it's true that at the moment, this education, I think, is really missing. And, almost what I say to people when they say to me, I want to learn about wine, what do I do? I say, don't bother about any of the formal education, mm-hmm. maybe, but maybe spend 1 week in Spain working with a vineyard, then go to France, then go and just meet the growers and understand a lot more about the farming and about the winemaking. Because at the moment there's no other way of doing it, unfortunately. Yeah.
We're talking with many winemakers, with sommeliers, and most of them, they say it's very difficult to explain the customers what is a natural wine, because it's not so it's organic and there are no sulfites inside. It's more. What do you say to a newcomer?
Well, I say that it's wine the way that it's been made, you know, for thousands of years, really. You know, modern winemaking technology is only a few decades old, you know, maybe say 100 years. You know, we started using sulfites as an addition to wine for only 100 years, and we've been making wine for 8,000 years. Mm-hmm. So I think it's about the way I communicate about the natural, low-intervention, organic, natural, biodynamic wines is to say, you know, it's the same comparison as sourdough bread, you know, which is very authentic, which is quite strong in flavor, but made with time, rising over 1 or 2 or maybe 3 days, versus, you know, white sliced bread you can buy in the supermarket, which is made very quickly. And I think natural wine is the same equivalent, you know. It's just wine which has a clean farming, a living farming, and when you put it in your glass, it is still living. And I mean, literally, it is living. So you still have the microbes, you still have the bacteria from the fermentation process still alive because you didn't kill it off with loads of sulfites. So if you put it under a microscope, there's a lot going on in the wine. And so it's a living representation of where the wine is from. When you make a conventional wine and you sterile filter and you add so much sulfites that nothing can survive as an environment, you know, then you make an inert dead wine. And for me, that is the big difference. And that's why I love natural wine so much, is because they are living, you know. And I know that, you know, when I taste this wine, I really taste a sense of that place. And for me, that's really important.
What are your wishes for the future, for just for the raw, especially, but also for the natural wine community?
It's a great question. You know, when I set up raw wine, I wanted it to be to create a transparent environment. So we declare, if sulfites have been used, we declare it, and we declare how much residual sulfites is in the actual wine. And we make that information transparent on the catalog, you know, on the website. And I wish for the transparency to be taken further, you know, to the consumer. So I would like the bottles of wine to all carry the list of ingredients. I find it really shocking that as a consumer, I go into a wine store and I pick up a bottle of wine and I have no idea what I'm drinking. And I find it shocking that the institutions, the governments, Brussels, I don't know, you know, don't think that it is weird, because it's a food stuff. We put it in our body, we digest it, like cheese, like bread, like milk, like yogurt, like anything you buy. And you expect when you buy any food stuff to know exactly what it is. And I think if we can achieve this, I think maybe we don't even need like to have a definition for what is a natural wine, because by itself, you know, we will know exactly what's in the wine. And then the other thing I think is very important is I think we need to start penalizing people who farm with chemicals. Mm-hmm. You know, they should be the one who have to pay for a certification. They should be the one who have to pay for people coming around their vineyards, for testing the wine, for glyphosates, for whatever pesticide residues will be in the bottle. I don't understand why it's the people who farm organically without anything who have to pay to be certified, who have to pay to be controlled. You know, I think for me that doesn't make any sense. So I think we need to start taxing the wines that are made by destroying the planet, very simply. And I think that then we'll be making big progress.
So big plans for the future.
Yes. Well, you have to aim big, you know.
Yeah.
Our job, my job, my boss is nature, you know. Everything I do really is thinking, how can I have more people drinking these wines?
Yeah.
How can they sell more wine? How can we convert more land to organic? Otherwise, what's the point? You know, I don't do this just to do an event and, you know, have people turn up. You know, there's a much bigger mission here. And I think that's what we need to, and that's why your job is so important, because you're reaching so many people, and then we can make people understand how important the work of these growers from a farming perspective is.
Of course, of course. That was our plan sometime to get the German think about something.
To spread the message.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
So, last question. What do you think is the most surprisingly wine here at the Raw for you?
The most surprising winery?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a too difficult a question. I think, look, what I think, you know, Berlin is an amazing city, right? Germany is a very difficult market, but I think what I find extraordinary is that people, the wineries here, they come. We've got a very diverse representation. We've got people from 22 countries, I think, here this time. I mean, it's really amazing, and I find that very inspiring, you know. I think the fair in Berlin, and it's nice to be finishing like this because obviously, you know, I've done, this is my sixth fair this year. And I think the diversity is incredible here. People can come here and taste so many different grape varieties, wine styles, you know, different expression from people. So I don't have one favorite winery, but I think I'm really proud of the selection here. Like I said, particularly because I think a lot of growers come here and they struggle with selling wines in Germany. But, you know, we want things to change, and I think things are beginning to change. It is our fourth edition here. We get so many visitors coming from Russia, from Ukraine, from Poland, from Romania, from Austria, you know, from as well as Germany. So I think, you know, I think Berlin can be really proud of the selection and people turning up here, and I think it's a very special day for us.
So thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Thank you. My pleasure.